here in this 12th chapter, in the 28th verse, it says, Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And the people, therefore, that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. And Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. And the people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. How sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have light, or have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light. Remember, he's the light of the world. That ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them.
Hymn number 4, faith.
Come with me to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Chapter 9. John chapter 9. Let me read a few verses here, beginning at verse 1, 9th chapter, verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents. Now here it doesn't mean that they had never sinned, but it means that there was no spatial or particular sin that caused this man to be born blind. So he said, neither hath this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him, in this blind man. So he said, I must work the works of him, the works of God the Father, who sent him, who appointed him, and gave him authority. I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. Well, this here is one of the great works of the Lord Jesus. He did many miracles. As a matter of fact, his life is personified in he went about doing good. even his enemies were eyewitnesses to his good works. He said, I must work. I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh and no man can work. I think he had in mind here that his time was short. It would only be a few days now that he would walk upon the face of the earth, that he would go to the cross and die, be buried and rise again and go back from whence he came. And so this was one of the great works that the Master, the Lord Jesus, did. He gave sight to one that was born blind. It's a great work if you can give a man sight who had never before seen the light of day. He is born blind, but this man is called Jesus. He's going to give him sight. Blind from birth, born blind, never seen the light of day. A more sorrowful case of this blind man that's brought before us cannot be found. I suspect that the worst thing that could happen to a person is to be blind and can't see. Now, Bob can see very good. He can see a little bit, but not very much. But he had about 80 years that he did see. So it would be hard for Bob, I suspect, to evaluate the awfulness of the condition of never seeing. I don't think that there's any greater ailment that could fall upon a person born of Adam's race, to be born blind, to be without sight. A more serious infliction can hardly be conceived in all bodily afflictions. To be born blind, no sight. It's a terrible thing to be born with no fingers or toes. To be born deaf. Serious affliction. I don't know that dying is not as bad as being born without sight. I think it's the worst thing that could happen to a man is to be born without sight. Nothing's greater, I don't guess, than the loss of sight. If you don't have sight, that cuts you off from all the enjoyments of this life. Not able to see the shining of the sun, the blue sky, and see the mountains and the rivers, the face of your loved ones, shuts you up to a narrow, narrow world. A world of your own. You have to visualize and painfully think about what is outside of this restricted area in which you live, this world of darkness. Man born blind makes a man helpless and dependent upon others. Has to get him a cane, a white cane, a C&I dog to make his way around. Jesus saw this man. man didn't see Jesus, he couldn't see. The initiative came from the Lord Jesus, not from this man. This man, he didn't know that Jesus was in town. He didn't know anything about Jesus. He wasn't looking for Jesus. He wasn't like blind Bartimaeus, who heard of Jesus and got out there along the roadside, knowing he was going to pass this way, and crying out, "Have mercy, thou son of David, have mercy." And the Lord heard his cry, and the Bible says that Jesus stood still. Kept on going. There was other cries. There was other picturesque things there in that area at that time, but none of them moved the Lord Jesus. He just kept on going, but when blind Bartimaeus cried, and they told him to hush, and he cried the louder, it says Jesus stood still. The cry of this blind man caused Jesus to stand still. He can make the sun stand still. He can do all things. Nothing too hard for him. But the cry of a poor blind man without sight, and a beggar man at that, made him stop in his tracks and stood still. This man was born blind. He did not see the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not, in all probability, even hear about him. But the Lord saw this man and healed him. Give him his sight. The Lord here in this particular case came to him unasked. He wasn't asked to come. He took the initiative. He took the first step. You know, the approach and appeal nowadays is that if you make the first move, then God will meet you along the way. That is, if you take the first step, the Lord will take the next step and come in your direction. Meet the Lord halfway. Well, this man didn't take the first step. He wasn't interested in who the Lord was, even. Maybe had never heard about him. I don't know. But the Lord saw the blind man and came to him unasked and healed him. This poor blind man that was painfully helpless and dependent upon others. In fact, until men lose their sight, they never fully realize the value of sight. Now, blindness, like every other bodily infirmity, is a fruit of sin. What I mean by that is this: if Adam had never fallen, I don't think that people would have been born blind, deaf, or dumb if Adam had not fallen from that high and lofty state of innocence that he was in. All the pains and diseases and physical effects to which we are liable came in when Adam fell. Before Adam fell, there was no blindness. There was no disease. There was no sickness. There was no pain. It was because sin, listen to me now, by one man, entered into this world. By one man. It doesn't say by one man's sin. It says by one man, sin entered. That's the reason. That's the first cause. And so, we ought to hate sin. That monster that sprang in from out of nowhere on us and diseased us and paralyzed us and separated us from a good and holy God. We ought to hate sin with a godly hatred. The root of all of our cares, troubles, and sorrows. And we all have them. One, you may not have the sorrows that another person has, or the troubles that I have, or the weariness of soul that others have, but we all have these things. It goes with being a sinner. Sin has brought these all about. If it was not for sin, there would not be any misunderstandings and fallings and hatred and things of that nature, the sin of all forms of evil and drunkenness and wars and rumors of wars and all of that business. There would not be anything like that if sin had not entered in. So we ought to hate sin. Sin is a proof of the fallen nature. That's a proof, because the fallen nature loves sin and finds pleasure in it. That's proof that man has failed, fallen to the lowest rung. Down there, you can't do anything about it. Well, the disciples here, they asked the Lord Jesus Christ about this man who was blind from his birth, who Jesus healed, came unasked, but out of his... And notice, too, that it says here that as Jesus passed by, he passed by there. I think he passed by there on purpose. I think he knew the man was standing there before he passed by, and especially he designed his route that it would bring him right by that fellow. I say that's the providence of God. I say that Jesus did this on purpose. I say this was no accident. This was foreordained. This had to come by. And as Jesus passed by, he saw the man. The man didn't see him. He couldn't see. But the Lord seen him. The disciples asked him about this blind man. Well, I've already told you, it wasn't because of a special sin. It wasn't because his father had sinned, or his mother had sinned, or someone had committed adultery or idolatry or some other outward, awful, disrespectful thing. Wasn't a spatial sin. But he said, this man was born blind, that the works of God should be made manifest in him, that the glory of God might be seen in this man, in this healing. Well, our Lord, as I said, I believe he kind of understood that he wasn't, his sojourn here upon this earth, being away from his Father, away from the throne. He's down here only for 3 short years, and his time was passing real quick, and he knew he wasn't going to be here very long, so he said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is yet day. ain't got much time left. Just a few short days. And I got to do the work of the Father while I'm here. My Father worketh hitherto an hour. I come to do the will of God. I must do His will. He would miss no opportunity to work works of mercy doing His Father's business. Morning, noon, and night, always doing the work that the Father gave Him to do. That, He said in one place, was His meat and His drink to work the work of God, to do the will of God. He said, I must work. Night cometh when no man can work. Let us, brethren, learn from this, that our time is short here upon this earth. It's like a shadow. And the shadow is about to pass over us. We go off out into reality. So let us work and do our Master's bidding while there is yet time. Let us pray. Let us read the Word of God and let us hear the Word of God. Let us do good in our generation. Let us serve God. Be obedient to God. Our time is short, and our daylight will soon be gone. The daylight will soon be gone for most of us, even for the very youngest of all of us. The day is short for you. If you was born yesterday, the day is short. Life is swift to pass by. The shadows are long. Opportunities lost can never be retrieved. Whatever our hand findeth to do, the Bible says, do with all of our might, all of our will. Says, night cometh, our Lord said, when no man can walk. A second lease on life is not to be had. Let us be about our Father's business. Oh, the second thing I want to mention is this. I want you to see the different ways or the different means that our Lord used in working different miracles on different occasions. In healing this blind man who was blind from birth, he could have said a word or not said a word and the man would have been healed. He could have thought it. It could have just passed fleetingly by. And he could have willed it, and it would have been done. God, you cannot put God in a box and make Him do a specific or certain way. God will not take orders from you or for me. Oh no, this blind man could have been healed with just one word. Or not one word, or just a thought. Or the Lord Jesus Christ could have touched him with His little finger, or His thumb, or pointed at him, or thought about him, and he could have been healed. He could have given a command, and he would have been healed. But instead he spat on the ground, and made clay out of the spittle on the ground. And he anointed the eyes of this blind man. Now, in all of this, there was no inherent healing virtue. There was no virtue in the spit. There was no virtue in the clay. There was no virtue by putting the plaster of clay upon his eyes. But you can rest assured it was for wise reasons that only God Himself knows that the Lord was pleased to use these means to bring about the sight of that blind man. A lesson to be learned here is that the Lord of heaven will not be boxed in or tied down to the use of anyone's means on conferring a blessing to men or women. He will not be shut up in a corner or put in a box or tied. He will work his own way, and he will not allow anybody or a group of people to prescribe how he will confer a blessing upon an individual. Now the healers of our day say you got to, the preacher must put his hand on somebody's head. I don't know that the Bible teaches it. It's not the way our Lord. He did it any way he wanted to do it. You didn't have to come forward. He didn't give no invitation. He saves whomsoever he will, how he wills, when he wills. All by the good news of the gospel, certainly. All right, he works his way. Will not allow anyone to prescribe to him how he does it. But the great question here tonight is this. Are the eyes of your understanding and the eyes of my understanding open? That's the important thing. Do you have eyes to see? The eyes of your understanding, have they been opened? Has the light, the Lord Jesus said, I'm the light of the world, has the light of the world came in and dispelled the darkness and made you see spiritual things? Have you got spiritual eyes? Do you know how God can be just and justifier of him that believeth in Jesus? Do you know who Jesus is? Do you know why Jesus came? Do you know what Jesus accomplished? Do you know what happened to him and where he went and where he's at now and what he's doing? Has your eyes been opened to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? Well, has your eyes been opened to his power? My eyes have been opened here this evening to his power, because I see that he can give sight to a man that was born blind. Nobody else can do that. It's never been done before, and it's never been done since, that a man who was born blind received his sight. But our Lord did it. So I know he's got power. Bible says that all power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. And that power, I know that about him. Listen. Here in this particular case, he does which is impossible. Without the means of medicine, he cures the incurable and the sinner. And the sinner that's so destitute, so far off from God, so bad that it seems like he could not be any worse. It's impossible. He's incurable. Only the Lord can save him. The Lord has the power to save him, to cause the light to shine in, the gospel be made known to his soul, that it can see and that it can hear. Oh, He gives sight here. Such a mighty work could never be done by mere men. And only the light of the gospel can shine, can He make shine into a man's heart that he can see and give him understanding. Well, just let me conclude by turning the page, if you will. This whole chapter is about this man. Did you ever notice that? There's 41 verses. It all has to do with this man born blind. This is an important chapter, you know that? This is a great work that our Lord did. An important event, and many questions are answered here. This fellow up here that was born blind, now most people get about three or four verses like I did, and they conclude that the man's saved, and they go on from there. But up here, he's not necessarily saved. He's got his sight, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he's a convert. You look over here in the latter part of this. Verse 30. The man answered and said unto them, why herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. He said, we know that God heareth not sinners. Well, I wonder if he heard me. I'm a sinner. Since the world began, it was not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was blind. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, that is, these Pharisees are talking to this blind man, they answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins. Of course, we all were born in sin, conceived in iniquity. And do you teach us? You're born in sins. Blind man, you got your sight, but you're still born in sin. And he said, they cast him out. They cast him. They excommunicated him. They kicked him out of the synagogue. Well, that was the rule then. The chief priests and scribes, they all said, if any man confesses this man Christ and says he's the Christ, kick him out of the synagogue. That's what they did. Well, Jesus heard that they'd cast him out. And notice these next three or four words. And when he had found him, I'm telling you, if you're ever found, it'll be because Jesus found you. You can't find yourself. You're lost. You're so far off from God, you can't come back by yourself. He's got to come where you are. He's got to find you and bring you back. He's got to work a work of grace in your soul and give you spiritual eyes that you can understand the gospel. It says, and when he had found him, when our Lord Jesus found this blind man who had his sight now, when he found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Now, a man's not saved if he doesn't believe on the Son of God. He's not saved up here where he says, I once was blind and now I see. Now, I know that all these fellows that preach, they preach and say, well, yeah, listen, I once was blind, but now I see. Well, that may be true that you was blind and now you see, but that's not proof that this man was saved. Because our Lord says, do you believe on the Son of God? And he said, who is he? Lord said, I don't even know who he is. How are you going to believe if you don't know who you're believing? See? And he said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him. This he couldn't have done prior to this. Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talks with thee. And you know what he said? He said, Lord, I believe. Now that's when he was saved. He was saved when he believed. the Lord Jesus Christ to be the Savior of sinners, to cleanse him from his sins by his precious blood, and to clothe him in his righteousness and make him fit for God's heaven. He said, yeah, I believe. And the next thing he did, he fell down and worshipped him. He blessed his name. He thanked him. He praised him. And Jesus said, for judgment I come into this world. Well, all right. That's a good chapter. Let's stand. We'll go.